Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us knowledge and the truth, Father, of this your word, to guide us, to lead us along the pathway of righteousness, Father, to where we can walk upright in your sight, and that we can be equipped, Father, to reach out to help others, to come out of darkness and into light, and that light be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this Bible study. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be dealing tonight with 1 Timothy. And we're going to be in the first chapter. But I want to share a little something about Epistle of Timothy. Paul, which we know, is the author. He's one who wrote it. And he's writing it to Timothy. And Paul wrote this from Macedonia in around the year of AD 62 or 63. He sent a letter to Timothy, whom he had left at Ephesus. He left Timothy there, and he left him there for a reason. And he was writing to Timothy to encourage him in his responsibilities for overseeing the work of the Ephesian church and possibly the other churches of the province of Asia. It's possible that he wrote actually this epistle from Philippi after being released from his first imprisonment at Rome. We know he wrote several of the books of the Bible while he was in prison. Well, he spent 2 years in prison at one time. Now, and the purpose actually was that First Timothy, which is what we're going to be in tonight, it lays the foundation for ordaining elders in the local churches. It provides an apostolic guideline for ordaining men to the sacred office of the church. And in essence, it is a leadership manual for church organization and administration. Its tone is practical and spiritual. Its theme is that of conduct in the church of the living God. You know, Christ is presented in this epistle as the mediator between God and men. And as such, he is the Savior of all men who believe in him. He is the Lord of the church to whom Timothy is responsible as an under-shepherd. Thus, the young pastor is to fulfill his duties in light of God's authority. The term bishop is used with the term elder and refers to the same office and offices of deacon, and is a different office, but with similar qualifications. Your bishop is your pastor. And your elders are the ones that we call deacons today. And your Sunday school teachers and things that way within a lot of our churches. Now, I want you to know a little bit about Timothy before we get into it, because Timothy is a strong book. It's a strong letter, as you'll see, from the very beginning. Now, Paul here, pardon me, in chapter 1 and the first two verses, it says greeting. He always starts with a greeting. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, in every letter that Paul writes to the churches, he starts out by letting them know who he is, who's writing it, what he is, and how he got that way. Who made him that? Just as he did here, Paul. That's who he is. Now, what is he? He's an apostle. How did he get to be that way? By Jesus Christ. You see, right off, he's letting them know exactly who he is, what he is, and how he got to be that way. But we know when that happened when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then he was against Jesus when he first met him there. He was going to Damascus, actually, to lock up those that were following Jesus and bring them back for jail and death, and had papers from the chief priests and all to do it. And then he met Jesus, and 3 days later, his life was completely and totally changed and different. In verse 3, he says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now we have all these different churches out here. Shouldn't be. There is only one doctrine. And that's this Holy Bible. The Word of God. Now, we're also told in God's Word not to build walls. It tells us, men build no walls to divide mankind. But look what we did. We don't call them walls. We call them denominations and doctrines. And it divided mankind. And look how many different divisions we've got today. There's over 115 different out there. And I can remember right here in our county, because this is where I was raised. I was raised in Meade County, a little place called Grayhampton. And here, we only had three different churches. The Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, and the Baptist Church. That was it. Now, the little town, country town that I was raised in, there, Grayhampton, we only had two churches. You had the Catholic Church and the Methodist Church. They sat on the hill there, side by side. Right today, the only thing that divides their cemetery is a fence. Of course, the government bought all of that land through there, so there's no Grayhampton anymore. But still, those places that belong to the church is the only thing through that part of the country the government don't own. That was never sold to the government. Now the government proclaims it. Their land, now they're laying claim to it. But they figure it's been so long that people don't know any better. But a lot of us do know. Not only that, but you see, right now, I've got plots there in that cemetery for every one of my children. Plus, there's a lot of other people still that still living that owns plots for their family in that cemetery. And also, my grandfather, my uncles, my grandmother, my great-grandfather, my great-grandmother, and all are buried there. And that don't belong to the government. They were supposed to keep it mowed because they bought all the country around it. And they made the deal that they would keep it mowed and cleaned up, which they don't do. We've been paying for having that mowed for years. But anyway, that's what it was supposed to be. Now, my first year of school, is down there on the creek where Camp Carlson's at. But when you turn in to go to Camp Carlson, if you go straight down that road down that creek, you'll still see the steps and the stone piers that little one-room schoolhouse sat on. One-room schoolhouse had all 12 grades. I sat next to a fourth grade. Nothing like it is nowadays. Now, but anyway, getting back into this, because he's Paul Noe, along with you and I, also because this New Testament is words, is what we are to go by today. Now, and he told them that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Don't be deceived, is what it boils down to, by all of these genealogy stories and things, the word of Almighty God. Because it's this word of God that edifies you and I. You know, he talks about fables and genealogies, which brings us actually back to the beginning where he's talking about false doctrines and things. And we're only supposed to be and teaching the one true doctrine, and that's this holy word of God. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfringed. This charity, what's he talking about there? Charity is godly love. And the only way that we can walk and keep the commandments of God in charity is with a pure heart. That heart has to be clean. It has to be pure. And that's what he's talking about there. Now, charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfringed. The word charity here means godly love. Now, 6, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. He says, from which, that refers actually to verse 5, where we're to have that pure heart, is letting them know that they're turning from that and from a clear conscience and their faith unfringed, because heretics have deviated. In other words, went off from the truth of God's word and their daily living, where they had turned aside, as he said, unto vain jangling. In other words, fruitless discussions. They're standing up there telling you a bunch of stuff that's just jangling. Now, and such talk is actually profitless. It don't get us nothing, because it actually detracts from the spiritual progress. Not only does it not give us anything, it actually distracts us also from the good things if we don't watch what we're doing. Seven, designed to be teachers of the law. He's talking about those now wanting to lead you away. They turned aside unto vain jangling, but they are designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They want to be a teacher. And we've got a lot of them standing in our churches today, standing there telling you, now listen to this, and it's nothing. Because they don't know nothing, and they are affirming or agreeing to the wrong thing instead of the truth of God's word. Now, verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Use it lawfully. Now, yes, law is good if we use it lawfully, and if it's not against the word of God. But if it's against the word of God, then don't follow it. Leave it alone. And we've been going through a lot of that now for the past 2 years. Well, now, Pastor, just how we've been going through all of that for the past 2 years. Well, they brought Colbert out. And one of the first things they put out to us was, close your church doors. What did man do? Most all of your churches. In fact, I only know two here in this county. They didn't close. All the rest of them closed their doors. And all over the state, I only know of one in the state besides these two here that didn't close their doors. Most all of them did. And yet we are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. When they put out the order to close your church, that should never have been obeyed. It was against the word of God. And they had no right to do it. Even our own constitution told them not to do it. But they did it. And man went along with it. Now, 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and mothers, the murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. Uh-oh. There's another one we're seeing an awful lot of today, right there. For them that defile themselves with mankind, for man-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Boy, we're finding a lot of it today that's against sound doctrine. A lot of it that we've just read is in our churches today. Man with man, woman with woman, and they say that that homosexuality is all right. It's just a different lifestyle. But the Word of God said it's an abomination to him. It's an abomination to God. But they've accepted it into most of our churches. Abortion. Yep. Being accepted into most of our churches as a woman's choice. No, it's not her choice. There's only one that can choose to kill that child, that unborn baby, and that's the Lord himself, for his reason. She don't have a right to choose to murder that baby. Oh, well, it's not life until it takes its breath after being born. That's not so. Go back into the four Gospels where Jesus was telling he knew them while they were yet in their mother's womb. And Moses and John the Baptist both were baptized with the Holy Spirit while they were yet in their mother's womb. There's life there. 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, all letting them know that this is all according to the gospel in which he was committed and was committed to his trust. 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. We know how he got there. We know how Paul got in the ministry. And he's writing this letter to Timothy and the church there where Timothy's at. Now, he's talking here about the Lord Jesus Christ had put him into the ministry and counted him faithful. And that's why he put him there. Now, 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He letting them know he wasn't a good man before. he was called to the ministry. We know Paul wasn't, just like he said. There. He was a blasphemer because he was against Jesus. He was a persecutor. Going and getting them, bringing them back to jail and death. He was standing when they stoned the first deacon of the church, Stephen, to death, and they had laid Stephen's clothes at Paul's feet. Paul was standing there giving voice for his death. But as he said, he done that through ignorance because he was raised in the law. And he thought in doing what he was doing that he was doing God's work. The high priest and the scribes are the ones that gave him the paperwork to go and get these people. He thought he was doing God's work. 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And that is where we begin our journey of love and of faith. When we go to him and repent of our sins and we invite him into our lives and we are baptized, we put on his burial, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then we put our trust and our faith in him. And then we are gave the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, which fills you and I with the love of Almighty God for all men. We're not hate no one. It don't matter what they do to us or against us. We're not to hate them. Just as Jesus, look what he went through. He was beaten before he was crucified, right up to the point of death. They just didn't go quite far enough to beat him completely to death. But, you see, those beatings, the way they done them in that day and time, 41 licks usually meant death. You died from it. Jesus was given 39. He likes two of being at the point of death. He couldn't even carry his own cross all the way. He started out with it, but then he had to have someone carry it for him. For the pain and the weakness. And yet, as they nailed him to the cross, he told the Father, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After all that pain, the mistreatment and the mockery and all they had done, he still loved them enough to ask God not to hold it against them. Now, 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith, love, which is in Christ Jesus. 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. And basically, he was pretty close. 16. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul says that God is using him as a pattern to show you and I those that wants to be believers after him what they must be willing to go through. Paul suffered greatly for his ministry. He didn't have an easy ministry. Paul was beaten 3 times with the whips, as Jesus was. He was beaten 3 times with a rod. He was stoned and left outside the city for dead. He just wasn't dead, but they thought he was. They drug him outside the city. He was shipwrecked. He spent 3 days in the ocean. He spent years in jail. He was on an island, snake bit by a poison viper. He had groups following him everywhere he went, tearing down behind him the things he was preaching about, trying to bring the people away from him and back in under the law. He was always in peril. All because he believed in Jesus. What are we willing today to go through to be that child of God? You know, the thing about it is, in his teaching, you can tell that even everything he's gone through and everything he goes through, he is still there, filled with love and joy. And we can do the same thing today. Now, Seventeen. Now unto the King eternal immorality, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now he ends these next 3 verses here with a salutation to Timothy. 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, all whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul letting them know he had turned them two over to Satan, over theirs, they're carrying on in their beliefs and all. And we've come to the end of chapter 1, the First Timothy. We're sure not going to get into chapter 2, because that's going to take a while. It's not that it's a real long one, but it's going to take us into other places because of what's in it. You see, some of my favorite books of the Bible is Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, James, Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And my favorite book of the Bible is Hebrews. Within those books, you'll find everything that you would ever need pertaining to walking as a child of the living God. And Hebrews is one that starts out a whole lot like Timothy does. They start out strong. And letting you know what is important in their starting. But there is so much in them. The chapter 2 here, and we have now been 45 minutes. So we're going to stop here, and we'll, God willing, we're going to be picking up the chapter 2 in the morning at 10. So, Brother James, you don't want to miss this in the morning. No kidding. Call in. This chapter 2, something else. Now, there's no way I can get through it in 15 minutes. So that's why I'm not going there. But we all need, and we're told to be in God's Word daily. We're to be in it daily. And that's why God had me to start this daily Bible study. Because we're told to be in it daily. It's all in His Word. We'll be getting into all of this. And it's the only way we have of growing and being able to really walk with the Lord Jesus Christ to make heaven our home. Because we let too much of this world in on us. And when we do that, we're not going to make heaven our home. And we're told that. We're not to make things or to have, I don't care, and this is the honest truth. In the last year, I don't care nothing for this world. This world has got nothing I want. Not a thing. The only thing I want right now, and I'm being very truthful, is the teaching of God's Word to help others that are walking in darkness, to bring them out of darkness to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, to get them started on their way of making heaven their home. Sharing this gospel, this word of Almighty God with all mankind that I can possibly reach. And do. I went to the doctor the other day. Had doctor's appointment. I didn't make it. It was made for me. But I went. I didn't see no doctor. I saw a nurse practitioner. And before she got a chance to even tell me about the CAT scan they done on me, I spent 15 minutes telling her about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love. She never interrupted me either. She said, listen to every bit of it, you know. And finally, I told her, I said, well, now you listen to me, and I'll listen to you. And then she told me about the speed scan. But that's my life. And that's all I want out of this world, is to be able to teach his word. Give me just enough food. It don't even matter what it is or what kind it is. Enough food to sustain this body, to get through this life. Place to lay my head down for rest. And that's all I'm after. Some clothes on my, to cover up my nakedness. They don't have to be no $1,000 suits either. But a lot of people don't look at us that way. All right, let us go to Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this evening, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the times and the place that we can come together to share your word, Father. And you know our needs, so we're putting our needs over onto you, Father, because there's nothing we can do about them. So I'm giving my needs to you. You know what they are. You can take care of them, Father, according to your time, your way and your time. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for peace for them. But even more so, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land for Jesus. And Father, for this land in which we live, we pray for it, Father, because it has turned its back with no excuse. Took the Lord Jesus out of every place he was in. Want nothing to do with the churches nor your people. Father, we are asking you to help us to come together this election time, Father, and take those out of office that's against you and against the Lord, and to replace them with ones that will work with us, that loves you, loves your church, and loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and bring our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we prepare to separate this evening, keep us all in health, keep us safe. Let us rest through the night. Wake us early, Father, so that we can come together again in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and back into your word. Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. Have a good evening. Good night, all.